Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Southwest adds to the growing number of red eyes from Sacramento to the East Coast. And if you know someone who wants to come to the U.S. for the World Cup in 2026, warn them they need to apply for a visa now. Those stories and more next in the news.
Our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25 shares the results of a survey among airline travelers. What are the six worst things that you can do on an airline? Well, according to the survey anyway, you know, we have these lists often, but this one really cuts to the chase.
It's mailbag day. At 11:35, we answer your questions. Everything from charges for charging your car to a complaint about disappearing hotel rewards points.
Finally, at 11:55, our odds and ends segment talks about mystery tours. What are they? Would you pay a tour operator a pile of money without knowing where you're going? Hint, these adventures are growing in popularity.
Thanks for coming along on our journey today. Over the next 55 minutes, our job is to make you a smarter traveler. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
I've been everywhere, man. To Vegas.
Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
I was on the road.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys right here, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget now, you can follow along and links to our special guests and more always at TravelGuysRadio.com. Also a place where you can send us questions to the Travel Guys that we'll answer in our mailbag segment. And we've got one of those coming up a little later on. How you doing, Mark? What's new? What you been up to?
I'm doing good. Spent the week here in Sacramento and then off to Seattle. Boy, the weather has really changed. My goodness, from around 100 to around 75. Went out to the music circus the other night and regretted the fact that I did not bring a jacket with me.
No kidding.
We came outside. It was just a bit chilly and a little windy. And for those of us who are cheap and park six or seven blocks away from the music circus building, why, it was a little bit of a chilly walk back to the car.
Well, all right. Music circus is a real gem, if you will, here. In Sacramento. I think we were talking about it earlier. There's maybe one or none of this kind of theater in the round pretty much anywhere in the country.
We did talk about this a few weeks ago, and I had the chance to go out and see Jersey Boys, which, by the way, has another entire week to run tonight and tomorrow, and then another full week. So if you enjoy the music of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, why, it's one of the best musicals ever. If that's not your genre or a little bit too old for you, why, then you'll have to look for something else. But, you know, the thing about the music circus, and we talked about this before, so I don't want to dwell forever, but Scott Clear and the folks who have taken over for Richard Lewis, who was in charge there forever, and did a terrific job, and Scott's people are just continuing the tradition of really great shows, and there are so many volunteers involved in all of that, in the productions and the passing out of programs and things. It's just, you know, it's really a Sacramento institution. And if you're new to town and you've never been to a music circus performance, you got another week and then it'll be done for this summer, but it'll be back next year. And it's just some of the best theater, from the orchestration to the staging and just everything. And Jersey Boys is one of the great musicals of all time. Frankie Valli and the story of those guys from New Jersey who made up the Four Seasons singing group and had so many hits in the 60s and 70s, and also had some very interesting, shall we say, lives. But you should check out the Music Circus. It is one of Sacramento's finest things, and I don't want to take anything away from the Broadway Sacramento shows they do during the rest of the season, but I think Music Circus is uniquely Sacramento, and I just, every time I go out there, it's like, it's an escape. It's just a wonderful evening. So, anyhow, Two thumbs up to the Music Circus and all the folks who work on it every summer.
Amen to that. All right. At the top of every Travel Guys radio program, one of the first things we try to get out of the way is bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And as always with today's travel news, here's Mark.
Here's a release from Disney that says Disney dominated the global theme park industry last year. They operate 8 of the 10 most visited theme parks in the world. 35% of their total revenue and 70% of their operating revenue come from the theme parks. So besides streaming TV and movies and all that stuff, Disney goes back to their original, you know. I know you are a big Disneyland man, Mr. Romano.
I don't even want to think about how much I've spent with Disney over the decades. And as I continue to do, my daughters are ganging up with one of their best friends. What does she want to do? She's spending her 40th birthday with her girlfriends at Disneyland.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, well.
There you go.
I understand.
These are adults.
Completely. I can remember when an all-day ticket for Disneyland costs less than $20.
Wow.
I also can remember, you know, now you just buy a ticket and you go in and unless you got a line pass or you upgrade it or something, you know, you wait with the great unwashed and all the lines around the park. In the old days, you probably remember this, you used to get a book of tickets.
Right.
And you had a couple of A tickets and a couple of B tickets and a couple of C tickets. And it's funny because now people say, well, that's an E-ticket ride, means something entirely different. The phrase E-ticket ride was born at Disneyland.
Yep.
How did that happen?
Yep.
Because the ticket books they gave you when you went in, the best ticket was the E ticket.
Right.
And when you got done and you were weren't done with the day, but you were done with your tickets, you would stand by the gate and ask people when they left if you could have their ticket books. And they would freely give them to you because they were on their way out. And every once in a while, you could score a book with an E ticket still in it.
Right.
And that was considered to be the cat's meow.
Right. Yep. Because that was for the premier rides, the E-tickets.
So. The E-tickets were for the premier rides. Long before we had, now everything's an E-ticket, but Disneyland had the first E-tickets. Travel demand is slowing but not crashing. This coming from a story from CNN. They say it was always going to be difficult to expect travel spending to be showing the kind of momentum it has for the last 24 months. The current situation is not particularly bleak. It's more of a normalization of demand and prices. And I'm seeing this, Tom, from folks who run hotels and the like. As we book group lodgings for next year, I'm seeing many prices are staying the same, which is the first time that's happened in several years, as the previous year. And some hotels are even sending out promotional things to people like me who book blocks of rooms and saying, hey, if you would come in May or September, we can really give you a good deal. That's only interesting because for the last couple of years, none of that good deal stuff has been going on. So you're going to see, I think, some weakening of, especially in some of these places that, you know, some of the $250 places that were getting $495, I think they're going to be back down to $395 this year. So it may not be cheap, but it will be better. Hey, listen, if you know somebody from another country and they are interested in coming here for the World Cup, which will be here in the summer of 2026, you need to tell them that they need to apply for a visa now. Visa waits, we've talked about it before on this program, are running as long as a year and a half, depending on what country that you're coming from. So literally, if you want to come, if you know somebody who wants to come here for the World Cup, getting a passport and getting a visa to travel from the United States to other countries has improved. The time frame has improved dramatically over the last year. But for people coming here, that time frame has not improved. So if you know anybody who wants to come for the World Cup, or for that matter, wants to come and visit here next summer in 2025, they need to get on it right away. National Park Service is telling us that here's something that you might want to mention to your elected officials, is that the Park Service doesn't get a budget increase when gas prices go up or utility costs go up. Therefore, the national parks are facing a deficit, an increasingly large deficit, because guess what? They're getting more visitors and they have less money. So it might be time for the people, the powers that be, to take a quick look at that and say, you know, these are our national parks and we want to preserve them for generations to come. So we have to spend some money on visitor services when people come, especially since so many of them are coming. Speaking of national parks, every year they do a cleanup project inside Yosemite and outside the gates of Yosemite National Park. The Rush Creek Lodge up there has a special deal where if you help pick up the trash, and there are some requirements for this, you can go online and see, but the Rush Creek Lodge is known for having a renowned spa. If you go and help with the trash pickup, you can earn yourself free spa treatments at this wonderful hotel outside of Yosemite.
There's a nice perk.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea. You can do something good for the environment and something good for your environment, too. Southwest Airlines has extended their flight schedule into early April and announced some new routes for 2025. We already talked about some of the Mexico service that is coming to Sacramento. But Sacramento is also going to be included in the red-eye flights. Southwest is going to start flying overnight starting in February, and Sacramento will have one of those flights to start with, a nonstop to Baltimore Washington Airport that will go overnight, leave here at 10:55 at night. We will also have a nonstop back on the schedule from Baltimore. Won't be the typical evening arrival and then turn around and go back. The flight from Baltimore is going to get in the middle of the day. But nonetheless, more new service, and my guess is you're going to see more of these red eyes. We already have red eyes to Charlotte and New York and Chicago and a variety of destinations from Sacramento. So I think you're likely to see more of those. If you're somebody who can sleep on an airplane or can tolerate an overnight trip, can take a nap the next day or something like that, you're going to have some more nonstop app opportunities. And finally, one last little quick note here. Amtrak is bringing back a route, not around here, but a route that might be fun to take. It is a route that goes to Mobile, Alabama. It starts in Mobile and goes to New Orleans, Louisiana. It's only about a 130-mile trip, but makes four or five stops there along the Mississippi coast. What a great way to see some history. And of course, New Orleans is a great visitor city. Almost no matter, there's a party going on in New Orleans no matter when you go there. Anyways, Amtrak with another route coming back after 20 years, hurricane damage knocked it out, and they have a grant, so they're going to restore New Orleans to Mobile, Alabama service. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Again, check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. Quick reminder, the special for that's going on right now at our friends at Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. We mentioned it last week. I'll shoot it out there again. It's 1 pound live Maine lobster. They will cook it for you. Comes with corn and French fries. $28, my friends. Only maybe challenged by their Travel Guy special. You got to tell them, you know, I'm looking for the Travel Guy special, where you get the 6 ounce lobster tail with the fixings for $29.95. I think we talked about this last week, Mark. You're not going to be cracking any live Maine lobsters, are
you? No. The Maine lobster is for people who want to have a battle with a crustacean. You know, I mean, they want to do war. And they're going to go after that poor boiled thing on their plate there. The lobster tail is for people who are more civilized and they just want to sit down and eat dinner. The lobster tail people is for people. I mean, the Maine lobster is for people who want an adventure. You know, they want the lobster to squirt back at them.
Well, they will definitely do that. Well, here's the good news: when you go to Rudy's, they will give you all the tools and covering necessary to tackle that 1 pound Maine lobster, available right now at Rudy's Hideaway for only $28. And that's Rudy's just off Hazel, right on Highway 50. You can't miss it. We're going to talk about the worst things that people do on an airline. Mark, where'd you get this survey?
Well, this comes from a major online travel publication. I'm not going to give their name.
Okay.
Here, they asked 2,000 flyers, which is a lot. Usually surveys are, you know, 200, 300 people, maybe maybe 500. So 2,000 is a lot of people to ask about. And we've had these surveys before. This one struck me because they were very upfront about it. And they basically, instead of disguising the question, they just ask people, you know, what's the most disgusting thing people do on airplanes that just drives you nuts? And it really pisses you off, you know, when people do this on an airplane. And so I really felt like this list really narrows it down. I mean, if you do things that are on this list, you have to know that other people on the airplane are judging you.
Well, you know, we talked about this before. I know it's on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, there is one that I am embarrassed to say I do.
Oh.
And when we come to it, I will let you know, and I want you to know I will not do it again.
Okay.
All right.
Well, number six on the list, the top six responses here, and all the way up to number one, reclining your seat.
Bingo.
People who recline their seats without first alerting the people behind them. Now, in coach, most of the seats only go back a couple of inches. But nonetheless, if you've got your computer on and propped up in a certain way, the person putting the seat back suddenly can really cause some damage.
I'm guilty of that. I'll just, as soon as we're able to, get the sign, we can put our seat back or we can drop our tray, I'll crank it back. And right after I do that, I thought, oh, I should have said something. I will always check behind me and alert the person behind that. And maybe I'll get a sign. I'll hold it back over my head and it'll say, coming back.
It's a courtesy. And, if the person had a real big reason for you not, like I say, in coach now, seats only recline a couple of inches at most. If you're in a premium cabin, though, the seats still go back 5-6 inches, and you can still infringe quite a bit on the premium customer behind you space. So, again, you're entitled to put the seat back. The airline wouldn't have set it up that way unless they wanted you to be able to utilize that service. But nonetheless, the courtesy says to tell the person behind you, hey, I'm about to put my seat back, so if they have something, they can take care of it. All right, next on the list, number five, being nasty to kids. Parents have their hands full when they bring little ones on the plane, especially like the under five crowd. So if you see a parent, a way to make points with other passengers, parents struggling is jump up and say, hey, let me give you a hand with that. Let me put it in the overhead. Let me get out of the way so that, you know, you've got the aisle seat and mom and the little one are in your row, something like that. Also know that giving the parents and the kids grief over petty things really makes you look like an idiot in the eyes of other passengers. It's like, you know, you could help the situation or you could sit there and try to make it worse. And if you do that, other people are definitely going to judge you based on that. Another one that's on the list here was manspreading. If you've never heard this before, this involves males, sometimes guys who are a little bigger than other people, and they get on, and especially if they're in the middle seat or the aisle seat, their legs tend to spread out.
I think I'll just spread out and get comfortable here.
So now you're partially in the aisle where you'll make a great friend with the flight attendant for leaving half your leg out there, and your other leg is going over into the space that should be entitled to the person in the middle seat. If the seat's empty, that's fine. If it's not, you've done manspreading, and this drives female travelers crazy. And I'm certain that some of the men who do it don't even realize that they're doing it. But, you know, guys, when you get on the plane, you're in a row of three. That space has to be shared by three people. So only take a third of it. You know, that's basically the way that works. The third least desirable behavior is the person who sprints up the aisle when the plane lands because they've got to make their connection. You know, if they'd have paid $25 more for their seat, they could have been closer to the front and they wouldn't have had to do that. But because of the fact that they didn't, now, boy, they've got to make their connection, or they're just somebody who feels entitled and wants to get off the plane, and that's the excuse that they're using. So if you're one of those people, know that that's not going – as you knock people aside as they try to get their things out of the overhead after the plane has landed, you're going to be on that list. Top two things. Second, stinky feet. Both of the top two have to do with stinky. People who get on the plane – and this was interesting because some people said, you know, people wear sandals. Their feet are exposed to the outside air and stuff all the time. They get on the plane. They take off their sandals. No big deal. But the guy who gets on, the lady who gets on the plane and their foot has been in a shoe all day covered with a sock, and now they take it off, and they think that, you know, oh, I'll just stretch out here and get comfortable. And everybody for three rows knows that you're somebody, it's taken off their shoes and is fumigating the entire cabin. So if you're one of those people, please leave your shoes on. And, I mean, for the people who take their shoes and their socks on, do you realize what's been done on that floor? I mean, on that carpet of that airplane before the last, since the last time they cleaned it, are you sure that you want to put your stocking feet or your bare feet on the floor? And finally, in the stinky department, top thing that you do that irritates your other passengers on board, bringing stinky food on the plane with special negative bonus points to the people who open up the food and eat it on the plane. Stinky food on a plane, bad news. Think about the other passengers around you, and leave the sushi for the time when you're off the airplane. So anyway, those are some of the things that people least like by fellow passengers on planes.
Well, I'm glad to say, Mark, I'm only an offender of number six.
Number six, starting
with the reclining my seat without alerting the person behind me.
Okay.
what about people who you have an assigned seat? Somebody gets on board and they say, you know, I think I'd really rather sit in another location, so I'm just going to sit here. This looks like a good seat. And when the person who has it comes around, I'll just explain myself.
Yeah, that was actually, I only took the top six. That was number seven on the list. People get on the plane and they sit in the seat next to the person they want to sit to. They got separated for whatever reason. And then when you get on, they're already in your seat. Rather than be in the seat they were assigned and then say, excuse me, but would you be willing to? But they've already made the assumption that if they sit there, it'll be harder for you to turn it down. So, yes, people who get on the plane and sit in other people's seats without first asking, they are the next offenders on the list.
Okay, and as we promised at the top of the program, it's Mailbag Day. We're back. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we mentioned earlier, we have this website, TravelGuysRadio.com. People will, on a regular basis, put questions to Mark.
You know, last week somebody, Tom, sent a note to the website, and they were, I guess they thought they were complaining directly to an airline. And the airline, American, will remain nameless here, but they wrote out this long dissertation. I almost made a segment out of it, but I didn't want to embarrass the person, but they wrote this long dissertation about how the airline had wronged them, and they had misconnected, and they didn't pay for the hotel room, and they were really mad, and there were a lot of bad words in it. And I just gently wrote the person back a note, and I said, look, you sent this to the wrong, you didn't send it to the airline, you sent it to a travel radio show. And then I said, and you know, the other thing, this is to do whatever you want, but I said, if I were you, I would tone this down a little bit. I think you have a much better chance of getting a response from the airline.
Well, maybe that was the question to the travel guys. Is a letter like this appropriate? Okay, we're going to do the mailbag. Mark has some good stuff. So if you're ready, Mark, let's jump into it.
I'm ready.
All right. Listener writes, what is the trick to getting parking space in a lot close to the terminal? Oh, boy. Seems like they're always full and we're parking in Yuba City. The shuttle buses aren't real dependable, especially in the evening.
This is a problem, and we've talked about it a lot on the program. And until they get the second parking garage next to the newer of the two terminals out there at the airport built, which is going to be a couple of years, I understand, this problem is going to continue to exist. The airport has put in more surface lots, extended lots, and lots where you can wait for people. They are further from the terminal, so you can't walk in like you can from the one ground lot that's next to the garage. Or, of course, if you park in the garage, you can walk in. So this is a problem. If you arrive really early in the morning, if your flight is leaving 6 o'clock or before, you're probably not going to have an issue. You're going to go out. There's going to be spaces from the night before. You're probably going to be able to park fairly close to the terminal in the daily lot or get into the garage. If you are leaving later in the day or especially later in the week, parking is going to be limited if it's available at all. So if you can get somebody to take you to the airport and pick you up, That's terrific. Remember, parking out there is not inexpensive. So depending if you park in a faraway lot or the daily lot or the garage, it gets a little more expensive the more convenient it is. So if you're going to be gone for 6, 8, 10 days, I mean, heck, the cost of an Uber, even if you live in the burbs, to and from the airport is probably going to be a wash. So just think about that. There is no trick
That's
to getting a parking space except going early in the if your flight is out really early in the day, then you're in good shape. Otherwise, you're in trouble, at least until probably October.
There you go. So the answer is there really is no trick. Book the early flight.
And the shuttle buses, I realize in the evenings, they are a little less dependable in terms of the timing. You know, some of them only run every 15 or 20 minutes. It's amazing when you've spent all day flying and waiting for your suitcases, and now you're out on a curb. It's amazing how long 15 minutes can be.
That's the truth. All right. I might hit this. Tom's Airport Shuttle. That's what we need. Really, though, buddy up with a friend. Have somebody take you out. Next question. Our listener writes, you might want to alert your listeners, Mark, to ask hotels what the charges are for charging an electric car overnight. Recently in San Jose, people write that we got charged $15 for parking and another $27 for the overnight charge. We declined the credit card charge and did not have to pay because the credit card company sided with us.
Yeah, this listener went on to say that there was no sign that said that there was a charge for the charging of the car. And the guy said, I expected a modest charge because everybody charges, even though there wasn't a sign there. But he said, usually it's $8, $10, $27. And he said there was no charge, no sign that the parking, that there was a fee for the parking. So he said, imagine my surprise when it was $42. The ironic thing is, he didn't tell me what hotel it was. I stay in a hotel in San Jose when I go down there on business occasionally. I think this is the DoubleTree by the airport because the parking there is $15. And I heard somebody the last time I was there complaining to the front desk about the $27 charge for the overnight charge for their car. So I think it might be the DoubleTree Hotel that this listener is talking to. The point here is charging your electric car is not free. It pays you to ask ahead of time before you automatically use their charging system because what they're charging you may not be a competitive price. And depending on how desperate you are for the charge may determine whether or not you want to do it there or take the car somewhere else. Also, parking charges for suburban hotel properties are becoming increasingly common. So it's not unusual to be not staying downtown in a place where you would think parking would be free, only to find out that it's $10 or $15 or $20 a car. So it's just another way of getting a little bit more money out of you. But as this listener has pointed out, be a smarter traveler. Ask about or do your homework before you go and find out where you can charge your vehicle overnight and what it's going to cost you.
All right. By the way, if you're just tuning in, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. We're doing the Travel Guys Mailbag. Our questions come to us by way of our website, TravelGuysRadio.com, where you can leave a question for us here for the show. All right. Listener says, next time we talk to the Sacramento airport people, Mark, got to ask them why we can't have food concessions open earlier in the morning and at night before the overnight flights depart. This is something that we've talked about before. There's almost no place in the airport to eat at those times.
Note to the folks who run the airport, if you're listening or anybody who's involved in the concessions or the vendors at the airport, this comes up a lot. This is probably one of the two or three comments that people make regarding the airport in Sacramento, and generally listeners over, we've been doing this, Tom, for what, 16 years now?
Close.
So this is one of the subjects that's talked about frequently. People are very positive about the airport in Sacramento. The parking situation has become a little bit of a drudgery here in the last couple of years, and it's going to be that way for a little while. But generally, our airport gets extremely good comments, and every once in a while somebody from out of town will leave me a note and say, hey, I flew into Sacramento, the airport was really clean, there were restroom facilities, there's room to get around, all of this kind of stuff. But the thing that comes up more often than not than anything besides parking is the food concessions and the fact that there's an increasing number of flights now that leave in the 5 to 6 o'clock hour at the airport. So if your flight is leaving at 5:30, they're going to start boarding your plane at 5 o'clock. The airline wants you to be there, they want you inside the terminal by 4:30, maybe even 4:15. So you're going to go there and you're going to have all this time on your hands, and it would be a great opportunity to get something to eat. Except that at that hour, many of the food facilities don't open until 5 or 6 o'clock. So it makes it really tough for folks. So to airport people who are listening, folks are regularly asking for concessions to be open. If you're going to allow flights to arrive and to especially depart at weird hours, then you've part of the customer service, I will suggest to you, is to have concessions open. Other airports have minimal concessions open at odd hours. The Sacramento airport needs to do the same thing. I realize that there are other considerations here. It costs money to staff food places, and they're paying the airport a percentage, and they're paying the airport rent, and that's one of the reasons the prices are so high. But still, having taken all those things into consideration, the airport's job and the concessionaire's job is to provide services to travelers when they need them. So we need to step that up a little bit.
Right. They're leaving money on the table.
They are.
All right. So next listener who wrote in wants to know what's happened to the Hilton Honors points redemptions, Mark. It looks like they are all up 40 to 50% over the past year or two. And I'm assuming what they're saying is that it's costing them 40 to 50% more of their points to redeem what that used to be was a lot less.
Yes. People who are new to the points game probably won't know that for many, many, many years, hotels, airlines, everybody who had one of these loyalty programs had redemption charts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you flew at a certain time or you wanted to stay in the hotel at a certain date, that date fell into category 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to however many categories there were. And you paid a set rate in redemptions for that date. Now we have what's called dynamic pricing.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no award charts anymore. It's whatever the hotel, airline, vendor, whatever, that they think you would be willing to pay based on the demand and stuff. I don't see anything wrong with that. Business is built on supply and demand in lots and lots and lots of cases.
Yeah.
However, what has happened is they have given you through these, you know, apply for this credit card and we'll give you 100,000 points. 100,000 points will get you 3 free nights in Hawaii. Well, at the time when all this goofiness started, it did. But now if you notice, even United is much more careful when they plug on the plane. They say 80,000 points or whatever it is that they're offering miles might be enough to get you to Hawaii. The word might is in there now. So they're hedging their bets a little bit. Yes, redemptions have gone up tremendously. None of these award programs are regulated by anybody. So what you have is that Marriott has set up their own financial, their own monetary system, if you will, with their own currency, and they decide what it's worth. And if they decide, wake up one morning and decide it's worth less than it was the day before, so be it. So if you are somebody who plays this game, you are at their mercy. Just think of them as all being different countries and having their own currency system, because that's basically what it is. It's the Wild West. Yes, Hilton Honors Points, which are now referred to at many websites online as Hilton Pesos, because pesos are worth, it's not a racial thing as much as it is to point out a peso is worth about a nickel. So what they're saying is that Hilton Honors points have become worth much closer to the value of a peso than the value of a dollar. So, yes, redemption values have gone up tremendously, not just at Hilton, but all over the place. And that's because these guys have issued all of this fake currency to all of these folks. And they give you 2 and 3 times and 7 times bonus points, or heck, we'll sell you points for 50% off. And of course, all of this stuff points to the fact that, they're going to have to devalue their currency on a regular basis because they're printing so much of it. So buyer beware. The more of that currency you have, and the more spend it as quickly as you can. If you aspire to a great vacation or a first class ticket or something, and you get the miles or the points to do it, go redeem it, because your miles and points will never be worth more than they are today.
Okay, Mark, we've got time for maybe a couple more questions here in our Travel Guys mailbag. This one is addressing sports leisure. They say, Mark, you travel with your company Sports Leisure Vacations, and was wondering why that you don't talk more about sports leisure and the trips that you do on your show.
Well, thank you to the person who wrote that. Yes, there are a lot of people who regularly, we have about 5,000 travel people who travel with us at least once a year around town, and a lot of them listen to this radio show. Thank you for that. The show is designed to be a general interest radio program that appeals to anybody who happens to stop by. So I'm also pretty sensitive to self-promotion. I love talking about trips when we get back. And I can tell you where I've been and what the highlights were and places that you can use when you go out on your own traveling. We probably should talk a little bit more about the product that the host sells on the program. Thank you for mentioning that. But I don't want to cross that line to being too self-promotional. I want it to be a program that's entertaining for people to listen to. And also, Tom, as is our goal here, is to give people little tidbits of information that might make them just a little bit smarter the next time they hit the road.
All right. Final question. I'm hearing Southwest is going to be doing the reserve seats thing. Everybody that flies Southwest is interested in the answer to this one. Is there going to be a charge, and will there still be the option to just do what you've always done, to walk on the plane and take the seat you want without having to pay for it?
Yes and yes is the way it looks like it's going to shake out. Yes, there's going to be a charge to reserve a seat, but like the other carriers, you can buy a ticket on United and pay the going retail rate and know that the only seats that are open to you, if you don't buy up, you don't pay for Economy Plus or First Class or what they call a preferred seat, are going to be the last eight rows of the plane. And, you know, if there's an aisle seat or a window seat open or whatever, you could reserve that. But if you want to be closer up or have more leg room or whatever, you're going to pay more. I'm sure that's going to be the same way it is on Southwest. They have indicated that they are still going to have a regular retail fare. But I'm going to suggest to you, you know how frustrating it is to be on Southwest now and see all those people boarding, pre-boarding ahead of you. If you are one of those folks who are in, you're not going to be in the C group, you're going to be in the Z group. And the only seats that are going to be left are going to be middle seats or seats at the very back of the aircraft. So if you're willing to take those and it doesn't bother you, then yes, I think that option will still be there. But Southwest has been leaving a lot of money on the table by not charging for reserved seating. And so now they have their stock has suffered because their profits have suffered. And so now people who own the stock are saying, hey, we want to see more profits. So now the airline is starting to look less like a unique carrier like Southwest used to be and more like the other boys.
All right. By the way, if you have a question for the Travel Guys, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. Right there on the homepage, you can leave your question, and Mark can send you an email and answer them for you personally. And from time to time, we'll answer them right here on the radio program. Okay, Mark, it's time for our final segment, and we're calling it the Odds and Ends segment, and we're going to be talking about... That's your cue.
That's my cue. Yeah. My cue. Mystery tours.
Mystery tours.
Yes. Why in the world? And this has always been amazing to me. I've been in the tour business for 45 years. For about 42 of them, my company has offered mystery tours on a pretty regular basis. So you would say, what is a mystery tour? In our case, a mystery tour is when we find some place or something or places or things that we feel that people will really enjoy, that we've never done before, but we're afraid that if we tell them where they're going, they'll never buy it. So if we think we've got something really great, then we tell people it's a mystery tour. We give them some clues. You have to be really careful now when you give people clues because there's the internet, and you can take any phrase and ask Google, and it'll pull up. So what we do is when we give them clues is about where their mystery tour is going, we give them some real clues and some not so real clues.
Okay.
So if you think Mr. Google can help you or Mrs. Google can help you with this, why then you sometimes will find yourself in a bit of a quandary. But the concept is that people pay for a vacation without knowing where they're going. And as I said, my company has done this for a long time. The trips are extremely popular. We do international mystery tours, not as much, more domestic stuff. We occasionally do a day trip that is a mystery tour. There are companies now. Now, we, of course, travel as a group at Sports Leisure Vacations, but there are companies that do this for people who travel independently. You pay them X number of dollars. They send you an envelope, and maybe there's two or three envelopes, and one has your air arrangements in it. So you open that envelope, and now it tells you where to go. And another one has your hotel, your first couple days in it or something like that. And they tell you expressly, if you want to keep this a surprise, don't open these other envelopes until this designated time. So you can travel now independently and be on a mystery tour. Or you can fly to or drive to a particular location, meet some other folks, and travel with them together. Our trip, mystery trips, leave from Sacramento as a group. So why would people, the question that I've always wondered, Tom, is why would people pay all of this money and not know where they're going?
Well, can I jump in with an answer?
Please.
With you, you know, your travelers that go with you on a regular basis know the quality and context of where you go. So they already know that you have a standard. So the mystery trip with Sports Leisure Vacations is going to be to that standard that they appreciate, and they trust you, so there they go. You know, for me to go online, and I just did, and pick up, you know, something crazy like magical mystery tour and turn myself over to these people I know nothing about, that is a little scary.
Well, and some people get scared by just when they get into planning. And some people, I mean, I've done this all of my life, so obviously what I do for a living. But some people get in and they start planning a tour, and they're just a trip for a family or vacation, whatever. They're just overwhelmed, or they're afraid at some point they're going to leave something out, do something wrong, forget something, or they've already done this once and they forgot something, left something out, there was a big problem. So there, the idea of using someone else's services to them is very exciting. And lots and lots and lots of people are into, sure, take me someplace and entertain me and feed me and put me in a nice hotel and I'll be happy.
Yeah.
It's just a different approach to travel, and while some people would never consider it, some people are like, sign me up.
Yeah, very exciting.
And an increasing number, you mentioned magical mystery tours. I didn't put an online link because there are so many companies now that do this, but Magical Mystery Tours is one. You could probably Google them, and it would come up. Mystery tours can be thematic. They can be culinary mystery tours. They can be outdoor mystery tours. It could be a hiking mystery tour. It could be a mystery tour on a boat or a ship. You just are not going to know until you take off. Of course, in our company, one thing we've had to be careful of is some of the airlines now will send people the day before and say, hey, it's time to check in for your flight to Louisville. So you have to be careful about that. But nonetheless, mystery tours are still incredibly popular with people and a lot of fun. So if you've looked at one or you're considering something like that, buy from a company you trust and a company you know, as Tom mentioned, somebody who has a standard that they will live up to.
Well, there you go. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Travel Guys. Of course, we'll be back next week at 11 a.m. Mark, final word.
Final word is dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. See you next time right here with the Travel Guys.